Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily, your daily dose of cybersecurity news and insights. You know, we're diving into some pretty interesting stories today, stories that really highlight just how interconnected the world of cybersecurity is, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking, well, you know, supply chain vulnerabilities and the dark side of mobile surveillance, and even, you know, those security gaps in the tools that we all use to keep our systems running smoothly.
So grab your coffee, tea, whatever you like to start your day.
Yeah.
And get ready to unpack these stories with us.
Uh-huh.
Because knowing what's out there is the first step to protecting yourself, right?
Right. Exactly. Let's kick things off with a familiar name, a name you might recognize from the world of ransomware. Remember remember those MOVEit attacks from earlier this year?
Oh yeah.
Well, it seems the Klopp gang is back, and they've set their sights on file transfer services again. This time, their target is Clio platforms, specifically Harmony, VLTrader, and Lexicom.
Oh, it's like a bad sequel, huh?
Yeah, it kind of is. And to make matters worse, they didn't just, you know, stumble upon one vulnerability. They actually exploited two separate weaknesses to gain access.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So one of these vulnerabilities, it's CVE-2024-50623. It was actually patched back in October.
Okay.
But the second one, CVE-2024-55956, it's much more serious. It's what's known as an unauthenticated file rate vulnerability. This essentially means attackers can, you know, they can write files to the server without any authentication.
So imagine being able to just slip a malicious file onto a server without needing a username or password.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of power this vulnerability gives them.
Like having a backdoor key. Yeah.
And in a worst case scenario, attackers could use this vulnerability to execute code remotely, giving them even more control over the compromised system.
Yeah, that's not good.
And that's where this new Java backdoor comes into play. It's called Malicus. It's a custom built tool, you know, and it allows the Klopp gang to establish a persistent presence on a victim's network. Think of it as like their secret hideout within your system, you know, letting them move around undetected.
Yeah.
And potentially exfiltrate sensitive data.
So this isn't just some small time operation.
Oh, no. This is big. The Klopp gang claims to have quite a lot of victims already. And considering the widespread disruption caused by, you know, those MOVEit attacks early this year, this new wave is definitely cause for concern.
It is.
What's particularly interesting is that the Klopp game, they seem to be refining their strategy. They've stated that they're, you know, deleting old data from previous victims and focusing solely on Clio victims for now. It almost seems like they're trying to become more surgical in their approach.
More surgical. So is this a sign that ransomware gangs are evolving, you know, becoming more sophisticated? Or is it a desperate attempt to evade law enforcement? What do you think?
You know, it's hard to say for sure,
yeah.
but it definitely raises a lot of questions about, you know, the motivations and the future direction of these cyber criminal groups.
Yeah.
But one thing's for certain, though, this is a stark reminder that supply chain attacks are not going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
And they can have a devastating impact on businesses of all sizes.
Yeah, they can.
Absolutely. Organizations need to be proactive in securing their systems and be especially vigilant when it comes to third-party software and services.
Third-party software and services. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Let's shift gears now and dive into a story that's straight out of a spy thriller.
Okay.
This one involves mobile surveillance.
Yeah.
And a newly discovered piece of Android malware dubbed Novispy,
yeah. This discovery was a collaborative effort between researchers at Google and Amnesty International. It all started when a journalist in Serbia found some suspicious software on their phone and reached out to Amnesty for help.
Wow, talk about being in the right place at the right time.
Right. Amnesty International, they conducted some initial analysis and found that the phone had been unlocked using a Celebrate product.
A Celebrate product.
These are tools typically used by law enforcement agencies for digital forensics, which raises some serious concerns about potential misuse for surveillance.
Yeah, that's a little concerning.
Right. The fact that a journalist's phone was targeted with such sophisticated malware and unlocked using a tool often used by law enforcement is definitely alarming. To get to the bottom of this, Amnesty International, they passed the malware sample on to Google's Project Zero team, and their analysis, you know, revealed even more technical details.
Okay, so what exactly is Navispeak capable of?
So NaviSpy, it's a highly sophisticated remote access tool. It gives attackers extensive, you know, monitoring capabilities on the infected device.
What's that mean?
We're talking call logs, text messages, location data, even access to the camera and microphone. It's essentially a digital spy in your pocket.
Oh, that's a little unsettling.
Yeah, it is.
How were the attackers able to get this malware onto the phone in the first place?
Well, the Project Zero team, they traced the malware back to six vulnerabilities in the Qualcomm DSP driver. This driver is a piece of software that controls the digital signal processor, you know, found in many Android devices. And here's where the issue of slow vendor patching comes into play. One of these vulnerabilities was still unpatched at the time of discovery, and two others took over 90 days to be addressed. That's a huge window of opportunity for attackers to exploit these weaknesses before a fix is available.
It's a bit unnerving to think that something like this could potentially be lurking on our phones, silently collecting our data. What are the key takeaways from this discovery for everyday users?
Well, this case highlights the growing sophistication of mobile surveillance tools and the potential for misuse by various actors. It underscores the importance of vendor responsiveness in addressing vulnerabilities to minimize the window of exploitation.
Yeah, it's a reminder that cybersecurity threats extend beyond, you know, traditional computers, and that we need to be just as vigilant about securing our mobile devices. Speaking of tools and security, let's move on to our final story for today, which involves a popular software deployment tool called PDQ Deploy.
PDQ Deploy, yeah, it's widely used by IT administrators to streamline the process of installing software on multiple computers. But recently, CertTC issued a warning about potential credential theft vulnerability in this tool.
So what exactly is the issue here? How could a tool designed to help manage systems securely become a security risk itself?
Well, the problem lies in how PDQ Deploy handles, you know, credentials when using its deploy user run mode. It creates temporary credentials for software installation, which, you know, they're supposed to be deleted afterward. However, attackers with local access to a machine where PDQ Deploy is running can potentially snag those credentials from memory before they are, you know, wiped clean.
And to do this thing, they might use a tool like Mimikatz.
Mimikatz, yeah. Mimikatz is a post-exploitation tool often used by attackers to extract credentials and escalate privileges. It's particularly effective in this scenario because it can capture those fleeting, you know, temporary credentials from memory before they disappear.
So if an attacker gains local access to a system, and manages to steal those temporary credentials, what's the worst that could happen?
Well, if those stolen credentials happen to belong to a user with high privileges, like a domain admin, the attacker could potentially gain widespread access to the network. They could move laterally, compromise other systems, steal sensitive data, or even cripple the entire infrastructure.
Okay, so that's a pretty dire scenario. What steps can admins take to mitigate this risk and protect their systems?
Well, PDQ Deploy recommends using Windows LAPS, which stands for a Local Administrator Password Solution. LAPS creates unique local administrator passwords for each computer, making it much, much harder for attackers to move laterally, even if they, you know, compromise one machine.
It's like having a different key for each door in a building. Even if someone picks one lock, they can't, you know, easily access all the rooms.
Exactly. And of course, the principle of least privilege is crucial here. Only grant users the minimum level of access they need to perform their task. This limits the potential damage an attacker can do if they manage to compromise an account.
Okay, yeah. I see what you mean. CertTCC also recommends using the logged on user mode in PDQ Deploy for enhanced security. How does that differ from the deploy user mode?
Well, instead of creating, you know, temporary credentials, the logged on user mode, it uses the credentials of the user currently logged into the machine for software installation. This eliminates the risk of temporary credentials being stolen from memory, because they are, you know, they're never created in the first place.
That sounds like a more secure approach. But are there any drawbacks to using this mode?
It does have a few limitations. For one, it's only available in the enterprise version of PDQ Deploy, and it requires user interaction to complete installations, which might not be ideal in some scenarios where automation is preferred.
So it's a trade-off between security and convenience. A classic dilemma in the cybersecurity world.
Mm-hmm.
This story reminds us that even the tools designed to help us manage and secure our systems can have vulnerabilities. It's a bit ironic, isn't it?
It is, but it also reinforces the importance of vigilance. We need to be aware of the potential risks associated with all the tools we use, even those we trust. And it highlights the need to stay informed about security best practices and implement those layers of protection to mitigate risk.
Yeah, it's all about being proactive.
Yeah.
and not letting our guard down. Speaking of proactive measures, let's circle back to the CLOP gang and their recent targeting of Clio file transfer services. We talked earlier about how they claim to be deleting all data from previous victims and focusing solely on Clio victims now.
Right. It's a rather intriguing development that sparks a lot of questions. Is it a genuine shift in strategy or just a ploy to manipulate public perception?
Is this an attempt to evade law enforcement? By covering their tracks, or are they trying to present themselves as more ethical criminals who only target specific companies and spare others? What do you make of this?
It's difficult to say for sure what their motivations are. It could be a way to distract from their past activities, or it might be a calculated move to create a more surgical and less chaotic approach to ransomware attacks.
It's certainly a departure from the indiscriminate targeting that we've often seen with ransomware gangs.
Yes. And it raises interesting questions about how these groups are evolving and adapting their tactics. Are they becoming more sophisticated and strategic? Are they responding to law enforcement pressure, or are they simply experimenting with new approaches to maximize their profits?
It's a reminder that the threat landscape is constantly shifting.
Yeah.
And we need to be prepared for the unexpected. Let's take a moment to revisit the Nova Speed discovery. That story really, really brought home the reality of mobile surveillance and the vulnerabilities that exist in the mobile ecosystem.
The fact that the sophisticated malware was discovered on a journalist's phone raises serious concerns about targeted surveillance and potential misuse of forensic tools. It highlights the importance of digital privacy and the need to protect ourselves from intrusive monitoring.
It's unsettling to think that our smartphones, which hold so much personal information, could be vulnerable to such sophisticated attacks. What steps can individuals take to mitigate their risk and safeguard their mobile data?
Well, using strong passwords, being cautious about the apps we install and keeping our operating systems updated are all crucial steps in securing our mobile devices. We also need to be aware of the permissions we grant to apps and be mindful of the data we share online.
It's about striking a balance between convenience and privacy. We often readily give apps access to our location, contacts, and other sensitive data without, you know, fully considering the potential consequences.
That's true. We need to be more conscious of our digital footprint and take steps to minimize our exposure to surveillance.
As we wrap up today's episode, it's clear that cybersecurity is a complex and interconnected web of threats and vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. We've seen how a seemingly isolated incident of malware on a journalist's phone can be linked to broader issues of surveillance and the potential misuse of forensic tools. We've discussed how vulnerabilities in file transfer services can lead to to widespread disruptions and data breaches, and we've explored how even the tools designed to help us manage and secure our systems can have security gaps that attackers can exploit. What are the key takeaways you'd like our listeners to remember from our discussion today?
I think it's important to emphasize that cybersecurity is not just an IT problem. It's a business problem, a societal problem, and a personal problem. We all have a role to play in securing our digital lives.
Absolutely. What specific steps can individuals and organizations take to strengthen their cybersecurity posture and minimize their risk?
For individuals, it's crucial to practice good, cyber hygiene. Use strong passwords, be cautious about phishing attempts, and keep your software up to date. For organizations, it's essential to implement a layered security approach. This includes having, strong firewalls, intrusion detection systems, and endpoint protection solutions in place.
And of course, regular security awareness training for employees is essential. Humans are often the weakest link in the security chain. So it's crucial to educate them about the threats and how to protect themselves.
That's right. And it's not enough to simply implement security measures and hope for the best. We need to be proactive in monitoring our systems for suspicious activity and be prepared to respond quickly if an incident occurs.
Cybersecurity is an ongoing journey, not a destination. We need to stay vigilant, stay informed, and continually adapt to the evolving threat landscape.
Well said. And as we wrap up our show today, let's leave our listeners with some actionable advice, some things they can implement right away.
Okay, sounds good. Where should we start?
First and foremost, let's reiterate the importance of timely patching. I know it sounds basic, but you'd be surprised how many organizations fall behind on updates.
It's like leaving your front door unlocked just because you're too busy to turn the key.
Exactly. Make sure you have a robust patch management process in place and prioritize those security updates. Don't give attackers an easy way in.
Next up, let's talk about securing those precious credentials.
Mm-hmm.
Those usernames and passwords are the keys to your digital kingdom, folks.
Absolutely. Implement strong password policies. Enforce multi-factor authentication wherever possible. And consider using a password manager to keep track of those complex logins.
And let's not forget about our old friend, the principle of least privilege.
Right. Only grant users the access they absolutely need to do their jobs. It's like compartmentalizing a ship.
Yeah.
If one section gets breached, the damage is contained.
Now we've talked about various tools today, both those used by attackers and those designed to protect our systems. What's the key takeaway here?
Don't blindly trust any tool. Take the time to understand how it works, what its limitations are, and what security risks it might pose.
Read the documentation. Stay up to date on vendor advisories, and don't be afraid to ask questions.
And finally, remember that cybersecurity is a team sport.
We're
all in this together.
Promote a culture of security within your organization. Encourage vigilance. Report suspicious activity, and empower everyone to be part of the solution.
And that's a wrap for today's Cyber Mornings Daily. We hope you found these insights valuable.
And remember, stay vigilant, stay informed, and stay secure.
Until next time.